It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And today we have a special friend, a sister in Christ, the gorgeous Nancy Elwood, in the studio with us this morning. And our guest for today is one of my favorites, Sister Melanie Randall. How are you doing this morning, gorgeous?
I'm doing just fine.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Today is Thursday. There will be, if all goes well, there will be a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast following the program. So he is not in the building. However, following the program, we will end the live and then we will restart it and let the Truth broadcast play. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all, Sister Melanie. Would you please pray to start us out? I really need it today.
All righty. Father God, we thank you for just another opportunity to come before the people, Lord, that are listening today. We thank you for the change in the season since I was last here. Thank you for another month. We're heading quickly towards 2023. And so we just thank you, God, for all that you are doing, Lord. Each time that I come, Lord, I know that transition is taking place. Transition is taking place. I thought about the picture that I have in my folder that of the tree with the blooms on there, red and yellow at the same time. And the phrase that I put on that change, it's not changed unless it's changed. Transformation and transition is not changed unless it's actually changed. And so, God, I just thank you for that this morning. And, Lord, I just pray for each and every one that is hearing that they would receive gratefully the word of God in this last section of the teaching on Proverbs. I pray, Lord, that you would just allow your people to receive that which is the truth, that which will establish them and will keep them going in the right path. And I pray for Monica this morning, Lord, that you would bless her, Lord, and just give her whatever she stands in need of, Lord, to go through and to make whatever transitional moves she's having to make. And we give you the praise for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So the title for today is Wisdom to Live By, Part 3. And if you guys have missed, and if y'all have missed any other parts to it, you can go back to our Facebook page and just look for Melanie Randall, and you can catch them all.
All righty. Well, I'm going to start out with a poem, which I like to do from time to time. And this is one that I wrote on October 4th. And it is called A More Excellent Way. A More Excellent Way. There is a way right to a man as he seeks his own perspective and lives out his intentions. But yet I say there is a more excellent way. Governments and organizations all with their set constitutions. But yet I say there is a more excellent way. The worship of idol gods, formed and shaped by hands. They neither speak nor hear, and had they not been made a base, they would not even stand. But yet I say, there is a more excellent way. Liberal ideology is the rule of the day. Conservatives and independents are spinning their say. But yet I say, there is a more excellent way. Many in their religious fervor are held captive by their theological dogma. But yet I say, there is a more excellent way. Masses are lost, going to and fro, wandering about like a cat that is stray. But yet I say, there is a more excellent way. Now I'm going to come to the excellent way. God's way is nothing lacking, giving you hope for the future before you. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. Our Constitution is based upon the written and spoken truth of our Heavenly Father. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. Our God we worship, He speaks and hears and moves about as He wills. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. Each member in unity of this one body works to the benefit to that of the other. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. It's a relationship with first the Son who connects us to the Father, and by the Holy Spirit we serve everyone. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. The lost are found, delivered, and set free, and backsliders restored to their identity. Yes, indeed, a more excellent way. It's the Master's plan before the creation of man. It's a glorious way and the only way. Indeed, I say, a more excellent way. And I chose to read that because I felt like it would go in line with the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is a book of contrast. It shows you a less excellent way, and then it shows you a more excellent way. It's a contrast of things dealing with being wise, being foolish, walking in righteousness or walking in evil. But I believe all of that is, you know, to me, and this is what I see in you know, the study I've been doing and what I've been sharing, is that it all is dealing with the integrity of mankind. This has really been a blessing to me to have gone through and just pick out a verse or two verses or whatever from each chapter and to share with you all, because I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. I tell you, some of these things that are written verse by verse, some of the wording, you know, it almost sounds like riddles or whatever. And I've had to really search out the meaning of what some of those things really were saying. And so it's really been a blessing to me to have learned, you know, what I have learned so I could share it with you as well. So I thank God for that. All righty. This is the last passage of words of wisdom to live by. Taking heed to Proverbs, we're going to start at Proverbs 22, and verse 3 is the verse we're going to pull out. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Let me read that again. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A wise person, if you will, perceives. Okay. It must need it to be said a third time. We can stress it if we need to now. So a wise person perceives the danger that awaits him in the evil. The wise person we're talking about, they see that which is coming, the danger that awaits them in that evil. So that wise individual will look for a place of refuge. He will hide himself. He's not going to stand there and just let the danger overtake him. You know, I think about movies back in the day, and they may still be like this, but I know, you know, like back in the 70s when they make these scary movies, and the people see danger coming, and all you see of them is standing there with their arm over their face, just waiting for it to overtake them. You know, like, I'm thinking, like, why don't you at least try to move? You know, at least you don't have to die so quickly. You know, you may eventually die, but not right now on the spot. But I know, and my husband, he would say, you know, it's all in the script. I know it's all in the script, you know, but you know, when you're a wise individual, you're not going to let that danger come and just swallow you up. But the simple, the person that's devoid of understanding or devoid of common sense or is naive and lacks sound judgment, they just seem to just not only let the danger overtake them, but they just may just walk right into the danger, you know. And so we've got to not walk as that person that seems to not have the right judgment of what's, you know, coming and what you're going to face. You got to know what's happening, especially in this day and time. We got to see danger in this day and time because it is so obvious, for one thing. You know, the enemy used to be so subtle about what he did and try to hide, but, you know, he's just coming all out, you know, with whatever, you know. And he doesn't care anymore. And the reason why, because we're being ruled by, how you want to say, we're being ruled by the unrighteous in our government. And so they're just following the plan of the enemy. But anyway, let us be as that wise individual. Don't just stand and let evil overtake you. Don't let, you know, those things that you see that are coming cause you to be taken and swallowed up by it. Stand your ground and then find place of refuge. Find a place of refuge. You know, it's important nowadays. And our refuge is in God. That's our best refuge right there. Somebody's sitting there thinking about a bomb shelter, you know, below the ground if some nuclear strike were to come or something. But I'm talking about finding your refuge in God, because if we out of here, we're in a better place. Mm-hmm. We're in a better place. Proverbs 23:4. Do not overwork to be rich because of your understanding. And I want you to know, sometimes I'm going to read these. They might be in King James, and sometimes might be in New King James, because I have a New King James version. But it says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. And so let's look at something here. Let's look at the difference between a work ethic and a workaholic. Mm. Okay, let's look at those two particular words. We need to have a good work ethic. We need not to be scared to work. We need not to be lazy. We need not to always try to put work off on somebody else so that we don't have to, you know, do anything. But we need to have, at the same time, a balance in our work. And we got to know for, you know, what are we working for? You know, what is our, see, God gives us skills. He gives us abilities. He gives us talents. He gives us gifts. And he gives us to use those things to the best of our ability. But we don't want to work so till we neglect other responsibilities that we have. No, we don't want to work so much till we neglect our families. We don't want to, you know, just overwork to where we neglect even God. We can say we're working for God and we get all tied up in what we're doing for God, and we still miss God. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't even have our time for God. We're out there ministering to everybody else in the ministry, and we really don't have our time for God. And so we got to have a balance in all of these things. I have two scriptures here, so I'm going to go to a couple of those. One is Ecclesiastes 5:10. I want to read that. It says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Then also Matthew 6:19. Okay. Matthew 6 and 19. And it says, make sure we, here we go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But I'm going to verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where the thieves do not break in and steal. And there's also 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I believe it's 17 through 19 in 1 Timothy. And it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so those are just, good examples of, dealing with that when it comes to money, it comes to wealth. Don't let your wealth have you. You can have the wealth, but don't let it have you. And if you're one that has been blessed in that manner, then be willing to share. Be willing to share. Be willing to give into the ministry work of the kingdom. That's really the purpose. And so let us have a balance in that of our working, and not just feel like I just got to work. I can't come home right now. Some people, they work like that on purpose because of what's going on at the house. I can't go and deal with that right now. Well, that's not the way to function either. We have to, allow God to come in and to, transform things in our lives and to help us with situations, challenges, trials, tests and stuff. We can't run from them. And use another means to try to get by. So let's balance out our working, our work ethic versus our being a workaholic. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Psalms 1:1 speaks about us not walking out in the counsel of the ungodly. And so, it says by wise counsel, you just can't get counsel from everybody. You just can't. Everybody doesn't have the, a mature enough mindset to give you the counsel that is needed. And everybody is not following God, who gives us, the greatest counsel. Some people are just going by the whims of their own mindset and their carnal nature, and it's, you'll go to say something about something that you need to take care of. Girl, I wouldn't put up with that. Oh no. Let me tell you what I do. I just wouldn't stand for that. If they want to act like that, I tell them I can act that way too. No, God didn't tell us to act like the other person. We got to act like God. We've got to act like God. If we're going to call ourselves people of God, children of God, we need to act like he's our parent. We need to act like he's the father of us. And so, you just can't get wise counsel from any and everybody, because they'll have you, winding up in a place that you don't want to be. And so in the, multitude of counselors, not just any counselor, but godly counselors, and I thank God for this place here, because this Joshua's Crossing. This is a place where wise counsel comes from. And so keep that in your mindset. Proverbs 19:20-21. I think that's a good one to read as well. Proverbs 19:20-21. And it says, listen to counsel and receive instruction. that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, whose counsel? The Lord's counsel, that will stand. That's the counsel that we want to receive in this day and time, so that you just won't go wrong, you know, receiving the counsel of God. He won't take you off a cliff into something that you don't need to be into. All right, let's move along. Proverbs 25 and 19. And it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. And you know, when I first read that, I'm trying to think, what does that mean? It's like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. I said, how are they going to, an unfaithful, I was trying to figure out, unfaithful man, how's that like a bad tooth? But you have to really see what happens when you have a bad tooth. What happens when you have a foot out of joint? Is that something that's enjoyable? No, not at all. It's something that is painful. It is something that is dysfunctional. And so what is this saying? It's saying unfaithful man in the time of your trouble will bring pain and grief. And so you want to put your confidence in somebody that is faithful, because if you're already having trouble, what do you want to add more trouble to your situation for? You don't need nobody unfaithful to add some more, more pain and grief to what's already going on. And so, the scripture says in Proverbs 17, the 17th chapter, 17th verse, the second part of that, it says, a brother is born for adversity. And so, there is trouble that's going to hit us somewhere down the line as we live out our lives. But in that time of our adversity, in the time of trouble, we want to find people that are faithful to help us to make it through, faithful to give us encouragement, not, come and give us more discouraging words on what we already have to face and trying to make it through. So a brother that is faithful is there for you in trying times. A brother is born for adversity. Look at it like this. A faithful brother is there for you in your adversity. God will send somebody that's just for you in that time of your adversity, and will be able to lift you up and encourage you in that which you're going through. So, be aware of who you put your faith and confidence in. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Now that's a whole mouthful too. I'm going to read that one again. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Now, excusing your sinful actions by making light of your actions is not wise, nor is it right. You can't do things and say, oh, well, I didn't really mean that. I was just playing with you, trying to see, see if you get mad. You're trying to see if they're going to get mad. What if they do get mad? You might get hurt. God has not called us to try to see if we can make somebody mad. Now, just think about that. Just how smart does that sound? I'm going to see if I can make you mad. You might find yourself the next morning waking up with a black eye. Somebody going to dot your eye. Come on, sister. And you ain't going to like the way they dot your eye either. I'm telling you. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. We can't be excusing our sinful actions by making light of what we've just said. You know, because you some people, they really get worked up about some of these things, you know, that people do. And they don't take it lightly. You know, you may take it lightly, but the person you just did it to may not take that so lightly. And there's a lot of people, you know what, there's a lot of people walk around right on edge, and all they need is somebody is just to say the wrong thing, and that's going to cause an explosion. And so you don't want to be that person, you know, that sets them off. You don't want to do that. I'm telling you, you better wise up, better wise up. Your deception causes pain to others, and they aren't laughing about it. You may be, but they aren't. In Proverbs 14 and 19, it says, fools mock at sin, but with the upright, there is favor. And so let's act, you know, I have a phrase, and I think it's something that my parents, I'm trying to think if it would be my mother or my dad, saying, why don't you just use the common sense that God gave you? Use that which God has given you so you won't have to fall into a trap or a snare, you know, in something. So let's be wise. Let's not walk as fools. It's too late in the day to walk in foolishness. I had a message I gave a lot of years ago, and it was in Proverbs, and it was called Stop the Foolishness. And I had all these scriptures on what the, you know, foolish people did and stuff. I said, it's time to stop the foolishness. It's we're too far into time period to not be, you know, walking around in foolishness. So let's walk as wise. Amen. I appreciate, you know, what God is giving in this, in Proverbs, in the study of Proverbs, because it's a blessing to come across these scriptures. And as I was pulling them out, I believe God wanted me to pull out certain ones that maybe people wouldn't always think of in the reading of Proverbs. You know, some of them may be familiar to you, but a lot of them I wanted to pull out that would be a little bit less familiar. Do we have prayer requests?
Yes, ma'am. We have a few. Would not be a good time to do those?
Yes.